Some of you don't know me. My name is Dave Amstutz. I'm an old retired pastor. And what it means is when you retire, you're just tired again. Okay? Now, it doesn't seem like that long ago that I entered the ministry. But it was a long time ago in the scope of things for a lot of you folks. It was even before you were born for a lot of you. Not all of you. I know there's a couple here that are older than me. But I just want you to know that God's blessings are good every single day, right? Have you started to count yours today? One, my alarm went off. Two, I could find the toothpaste. Three, there was a toothbrush to actually put the toothpaste on. I mean, you can go through the whole list. And aren't we thankful that we all had clothes to wear today to come to church? Might be interesting otherwise. The car started. I went in my car, I went to look to see how cold it was. It said, oh, wow. That's what, 6 degrees, that didn't count wind chill. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for. I was thankful that Eric got here early with a shovel this morning. Why was I so thankful? Because I was stupid enough to only come with just this light jacket on. And I'm standing outside the church and then realize I don't have the keychain that has my key to get into the church. And Eric was walking with a shovel from his truck out in the parking lot. And I says, you got a key? Oh, yes. He goes back to the truck and gets the key. I'm thankful that Eric showed up right there. I was chilly. You know, we come together today because God has a plan for your and my life. That's why we came together. We came together to worship Him and to give thanks for the love that He extends to us in His plan. Now, sometimes we get sidetracked from that. You know, I would surmise that you, yes, each and every one of you, is struggling to prepare for the 25th. We're not talking wedding anniversary here. We're talking, you know, I could up your stress a little bit. It's only a couple days away, right? You know, you either make it or you fall short in a heap of tape, wrapping paper, confectioner's sugar, light strands, candles, and shelf-sitting elves. You know, you get my point, right? Preparation. You know, the cooks among us in the congregation here know that the goods just don't appear on the table. Nope. They have to proceed a strict order of preparation so you are able to see the smiles on the family's faces, right? Especially come the 25th. Because then great-grandmother's figgy pudding or whatever other recipe that is a heritage in your Christmas wouldn't taste right. You have to proceed a strict order of preparation to see the family's smiles. Farmers, gardeners will tell you that great crop yield comes only with great soil preparation. It's the only way it happens. The right amount of compost, organics, drainage, in our area, winter cover crops, you know, the soil has to be prepared. You can't just walk out there and go, oh, gee, well, it looks like a good soybean field, and throw some seed at it. Doesn't work that way. Oh, you could do it, but you would only last maybe a season or two and you lose the farm. Now, how much more has God prepared for the coming of His Son than you bakers or gardeners? Nothing. God left nothing for chance. God worked. Oh my goodness. The prophet Isaiah gives us God's future plans. It was read to you here at the beginning, you know. Prepare the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, there's one calling, you know. Make straight the path. Make an expressway, only 3% grade, you know. It's like doing a railroad, you know. They fill in the valleys and they bring down the hills so it's all level. That's why they make old railroad lines bicycle paths. Because people don't like the hills as much. Yeah. Make the path straight. Make it ready. You know, the prophet Isaiah, the hundreds of years before God's plan came to fruition in the birth of Jesus. The details are more exhausting than expectant parents packing the suitcase, getting ready to head to the hospital. You see, the Gospel of Matthew shares Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Father Abraham, showing how God's finger actively comes down through history to fulfill, prepare for the birth of His Son. Did you realize that Jesus' birth, life, and death fulfilled over 320 prophecies? So many that the odds of all them being accomplished in just one man, almost mathematically an impossibility. Why all this preparation? Why all this attention to detail? Because God has a plan for you. He does. And you, and you, and you. He wants us to know that He hasn't forgotten us and that He wants to be actively involved in your life just as He was in Mary and Joseph's life. Now that was an interesting couple. Younger bride, older husband. You see, God's plan for you started all the way back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, in Eden. What? Woman would bear a son that would crush the head of the serpent. Who was that? I love that part in the movie. I don't know if you saw the part in the movie where Jesus goes and steps on the snake's head. It happens that quick. You might have missed it. But don't. God provides an earthly father, Joseph. Now, this earthly father has the ability. Not every man would have or could have, but this man had the ability to provide for his family, whether they are in Bethlehem, the house of bread, or in Egypt, in a foreign country. I'll let you know something. Just like everybody needs a good plumber, everyone needs a good carpenter. Right? Especially if you were a farmer back then. You know, farming implements were made by the carpenter. Just as the door mantles and all those other good things were. Joseph. Even John the Baptist, remember him? Was not your run-of-the-mill locust-eating prophet. Nope. He was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias, a priestly couple who happened to be the uncle and the aunt of, guess who? Jesus. Elizabeth, that's an ancient mother-to-be. Literally ancient. In seclusion for 5 months, the first 5 months of her pregnancy. And who does she receive then for the last trimester? Who shows up on the doorstep to help? Mary. And lo and behold, Mary is pregnant too. with the Son of God. And Mary is there to learn of the blessings of God and basically how to get ready and to have a baby and to be a mama. And to help family. All in that process. John the Baptist. Now, then John is the one who calls us all out to prepare the way of the Lord. And more about that in a little bit in the message, okay? God even, Syria's been in the news recently, hasn't it? God even used Syria back then. Used the leader in Syria to call for a census so that, guess who? Joseph, the carpenter, has to take his pregnant wife to this hometown of where? Bethlehem. Right? And what's the name of Bethlehem in English? It's House of Bread. Or you could call it the House of David. Oh. Do you see how the thread just keeps going and going and going? The preparation is there. So in this great God's plan, there are two things that we must do personally to fulfill all that He has for us. I'm sitting down there where Bill usually sits. I'm looking up at the altar area up there, and I notice that we have a forest of beautiful poinsettias. Thank you very much, folks. They're gorgeous. Hopefully I don't kick the one right below me here. But I want you to know something. All of this takes preparation. Most of it's behind the scenes. Have you noticed? I bet you haven't thought about it. Have you ever noticed those candles on this altar never burn down? Have you noticed that? Unlike these down here. You've got to watch that one at the bottom. I'm going to point it out to you so we don't. Have you got a fire extinguisher? You know, if we may need. No, we won't need it. It's got a ways to go yet. They're fake candles up there on the altar. They're liquid candles. Someone goes up there, opens up the top, gets out the special little things, and pours in the oil and puts it up. Reason is there is they always look nice, don't they? Which brought me to a painful memory of preparation. I was in high school. Natalie's age, almost. That's Natalie right there. She's in high school. I was her age. Preacher's kid. My dad was the pastor of the church, and I landed the custodial job of the church. Cleaned the toilet, shoveled the walks, waxed the floors, vacuumed, and one of the requirements that I would do on a certain Sunday morning is to, we didn't have liquid candles. We had little tiny candles with springs inside that pushed them up. Some of you may have remembered those. So those are the cheaper version of the liquid ones, okay? So they always stay the same height. It was the 24th of December. It was the candlelight service. I'm sitting back and at the church there, that long pew that goes across, that was all open back there, okay? I'm sitting back there in the pew, all feeling all good. The place looked all spiffy and it's all nice. And halfway through the service, though, I look up and I notice that one of the candles goes poof. Little trail of smoke went up from it. I hope the other one lasts. Because they didn't have these candles in that church. They only had the two up front. And my dad, the pastor, had this big candle, and he was supposed to go up and light it from one of these big candles up here, and then to take it out here, and the ushers would come forward while we all sang Silent Night, and then, you know, he would light the usher candles and the candles, and they would go all through and the lights would be out and everybody would sing and it would all be wonderful. I'm watching. 1 minute went by. It's still burning. 2 minutes went by. And my mind is going, if that goes out, what will we do? And I'm going, oh, I'm sending up a big prayer. It's called a flare prayer. You ever send up flare prayers? That's where you take out the flare gun and you go, boom! Help! And all of a sudden, a voice inside of my head said, you know, down in the kitchen, back over in the corner, there's that box of old candles back there. Go get one. Well, why will it hold it up? Well, there's a cleaner can that has a plastic top on it. Turn it upside down and stick the candle in it. It's white, the lid. It won't show up much. And then my heart sank because guess what? The other candle, poof, as well. My dad's preaching away up there. In the middle of the service, unbeknownst to him, there's no light behind him. I looked down at the bulletin and I ran down the stairs, scrounged around, found an old pastor candle, tall one, fat, stuck it in the top, went over. In the kitchen area, they had those old gas-burning stoves, you know, found one of the big matches, lit the candle, went upstairs. With the candle lit, he's just wrapping up his message. I get up to the back, and there's a song they sing just before they light the candle. He has one more scripture to read, and then it's candlelight time. Started to sing this song. I go, how do I get it up there? So I started walking slowly from the back up during the song. Just as solemn as I could, walk down the thing. And my dad's up there, and he goes, wondering what in the world that crazy kid doing. And then he sees the candle, and he goes, you see, preparation is in the details, isn't it? And I got up there and he took the candle and he went up and he set it right in the middle. Turned around, grabbed his candle. Whew. Do you know my whole life has been? Whew. Our lives are full of saved again by what? By the grace of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist says, we must prepare. And he talks about two things. Now, this isn't a deep sermon. You only have to remember two things you have to be prepared on here. Okay? Just two. Just kind of like the Boy Scouts. Be prepared, you know. First, John the Baptist called people to repentance for their sins. And when they did that, to seal that and to show everybody that they have repented of their sins and acknowledging that God cleanses their sins, they went down into the water and John baptized them. First baptism. And then John says, you're not done. We're not done here. There's one that's going to follow me. I'm not even worthy to untie the shoes off. I baptize you for repentance with water. But he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is where a lot of us Christians get stuck. Right there. We understand I got to repent of my sins. And then I need to be baptized. And that's a public statement. And if you haven't been baptized yet, contact Pastor Bill to do it at the earliest Pastor Bill's convenience. Because God says you, Jesus says you need to be baptized. Okay? That's just the order from on high. You need to do that. Okay? Even if you might be embarrassed to come up front or whatever, whatever your age is, it doesn't matter. Okay? Do it. You need to. It's like not putting eggs in the brownies for Christmas. You know what brownies are like if you don't put the eggs in them? It won't break, practically. Hard as rock. The second, John says, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters us, we bear fruit enabled by the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Now, every single believer has at least one gift of the Spirit. And has all of the fruits. Some of your apples might be a little bigger than somebody else's, or your peaches, or your bananas, or whatever, your tomatoes. But you'll have all the fruits and at least one gift. The gifts of the Spirit listed in Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 12, 28. There are 16 gifts of the Spirit, at least. Some people count a few more than that. It's not hard to find them. You say, well, I didn't write those down. Where are the gifts of the Spirit listed at? Boom. It'll tell you. Your phone will tell you. Now, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, you know, those we all have if you're a believer. Every one of us. And we are needing to exercise those so that we bear fruit. So that when my time is done, you can stand up here. Next man up. Because you will be immersed in all of those gifts and fruits that God has given you to be able to live the Christian life that encourages each other in love, that bears all things, hopes all things, and forgives all things. Almost sounds like a wedding service, didn't it? Because that's 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you keep a record of wrongs? Well, not my marriage, I don't. No, in church. Pastor Dave's gone to meddling now. I remember first church that I served three at one time, but one church. She sat in the third pew back. There was a little cushion in that pew. Now we didn't have the dividers from when you paid for pews or anything like that. But Ella would sit in that third pew. She'd come down with her cane and she'd make it all the way down there. I never will forget the Sunday. I mean, the church, not a big church. I mean, 35 was a full house practically, okay? And desperately needing young families. Sound familiar? Need young families. So we can grow up the church. Never will forget that Sunday. A mom and a dad and two children, little ones, came in church. They were early-ish because they didn't never been there before, and they didn't know where to go inside or anything like that or what it would be like. And they showed up a little bit early, and they walked down and they sat and they moved the cushion over because they sat in the third pew. Actually, the cushion was on edge. Ella would always go and lay the cushion down and sit on it. She came into the church. She hobbled all the way down there. They're sitting right there. Newcomers. And she came. And sat over there. They came back to church, didn't they? No. Why? There wasn't forgiveness given at the very beginning, was there? Have you forgiven each other? Let's complete our preparations to be the spiritual servants God wants us to be. Acknowledge our sins. Ask for forgiveness. Be baptized. Open your heart to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and His presence in your life. Would you pray with me right now? Oh Lord, we are thankful today for your blessings and the preparations that you have done for us. Sending your Son to die on the cross for us so that we might be saved, that we might be in communion with you, and therefore in communion with each other. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my lack of preparation. Be the light, O God, and place it within me so that others may see you and your good works. Come into my life, O Jesus. Make me a new person. Create in me a clean heart. You are a wonderful God. Thank you. Amen.